الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لخير الأديان وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله وأكمل لنا ديننا وأتم علينا نعمته ورضي لنا الإسلام دينا فلا نعبد ولا نستعين إلا إياه ألف بين قلوب أهل الإيمان فأصبحوا بنعمته إخوانا والصلاة والسلام على شمس الهداية واليقين المميز بين الطيب والخبيث المهين المأمور بالغلظة والجهاد على الكفار والمنافقين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفمن كان مؤمنا كمن كان فاسقا لا يستوون وقال الله تعالى أو من كان ميتا فأحييناه وجعلنا له نورا وجعلنا له نورا يمشي به في الناس كمن مثله في الظلمات ليس بخارج منها وقال الله تعالى وإذا قيل لهم آمنوا كما آمن الناس قالوا أنؤمن كما آمن السفهاء ألا إنهم هم السفهاء ولكن لا يعلمون صدق الله العظيم Respected ulama, elders and dear friends, Allah Ta'ala is asking us a question in the Quran. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا Can a mu'min and a kafir be equal? You should think carefully. Can a mu'min and a kafir be equal? All are deens, all are mazhabs, all lead to the same God. People trying to hoodwink us and make us. Allah Ta'ala says categorically that a mu'min and a fasiq can never be equal. Iman and kufr, they are going in opposite directions. They can never be equal. La yastawun. What is the difference in the two? The difference is, أَوَ مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَا Just hearts were dead. A ground was dead. Then it was watered and it became alive. Things started growing. Vegetation started growing in that ground. He's just giving this analogy to explain this ayah. Now, things started growing. Or there was darkness and some light was put there now. When there was darkness, we couldn't see. Now when there is light, you can see something. And the more intense the light will be, the brighter the place will become, and the more clearer we will be able to see. أَوَ مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَا وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا Darkness. Allah gave him the light of Iman. Allah blessed him with the noor of Iman. Now, with that Iman, what is the benefit of that Iman? What is that Iman for? That Iman is to show him the right path, how to live in this world. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ So that he can walk correctly. He won't stumble over something. He won't bump into somebody. He won't knock his head against a pole. He'll be able to see clearly that this is right, this is wrong, this is what Allah wants me to do, this is what Allah doesn't want me to do. This is what Iman will teach. أَوَ مَنْ كَانَ مَيْتًا فَأَحْيَيْنَا وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ كَبَمْ مَثَلُهُ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ Now this person who is walking in light, he can see right from wrong. And that person who is in darkness, he doesn't know where he's walking, he's stumbling, he's knocking, he's falling, hurting his knee, knocking his head against something. They can never be equal. So a person with iman and a person without iman can never be equal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with that iman. My respected elders and friends, there's a misunderstanding we have. For us, iman is, well, I believe there is one Allah. And this is the rank and file of the Muslims. This is what we say. I believe in one Allah. I believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a messenger of Allah. In other words, kalima par, read la ilaha illallah ma'ala, or jo chahe kar. We call that iman. Kalima par, or jo chahe kar. Just read the kalima, you become a Muslim. After that, you are free. You got your boarding card to Jannah. Do whatever you feel like. Live like the kafir. Have a temperament like a kafir. A mushrik, a yahud, a nasara. That temperament. But I read la ilaha illallah. I know there is one Allah only. I know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger. The rest of my life is my own. My private life. Ma'uzullah. Respected elders and friends, like everything has its own temperament and mizaj, iman also has its own temperament and mizaj. Like you put a group of businessmen together, you can just make out these businessmen are sitting together. Socially, not on in a business meeting, just socially over some meals or something, or just sitting casually, you'll see what they're talking. Containers and boxes and this and that, and so many millions you can make in this, and so many hundreds of thousands you can do in so many seconds. You know, those type of things they're talking. And you put the drug merchants together, you'll see what language they are talking. And you put a group of military people together, you hear what type of talks they have. All these officers, when they're sitting in their mess, and what type of discussions they are having socially. Just like that, a person with iman has a mizaj. The person who's got iman, he's made effort on his iman, he has a certain temperament. Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran regarding the sahaba, that the sahaba had that mizaj of iman. They didn't just, from the first day, for them to read la ilaha, say one Allah, and believe that you are the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was very easy to say that. What was difficult is we have to change our whole life. Our whole thinking has to change now. That was difficult for them. Ya wa idha qila lahum aminu. Kama amana an-nas. When the kufar of Makkah were told, you bring iman like how the sahaba brought iman. You change your life, you sacrifice everything for the deen of Allah. Deen is muqaddam, deen is first, priority. Everything else comes after that. The business comes after that. The wife and children also come after that. Deen is muqaddam. Allah's hukam is first. In fact, Allah's hukam will teach us how to do that business. Allah's hukam will teach us how to live with that wife and children correctly. It won't separate you from them. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا. When it was told to the kuffar of that time, that bring iman like how this sahaba brought iman. Now to them they are people of money, they are people of position. Sahaba, the lower caste, let's put it that way, lower class people, no money, poor people, no backup in their family, no backing from their families, you know, of nobility or something like that, that if something happens, I got my backup from my family. No such a thing. So, immediately those kuffar, the leaders of the kuffar, what they say, anu'minu kama amana sufaha. Should we bring iman like how these fools brought iman? They regarded the mu'mineen as fools. Allah stepped in and made fesla here. Allah, innahum humus sufaha. Allah says, these people who are saying, must we bring iman like these fools, like these downtrodden people, must we also become downtrodden? Allah says that these people who are talking like that, they are the fools. وَلَاكِنْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But they don't know, they don't realize it. When the eyes will close on the day of Qiyamah, when we will put in the ground, when we will have to answer to the angels, and we stand in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah, then we'll realize who are the fools and who are the intelligent. When a person is riding and coming, you know, in the sand, desert sand, and the dust is blowing, he's riding very fast. You can't make out who's it and what is he riding on. But when the dust settles, it comes near and the dust settles, then you come to know whether he's sitting on a horse or he's sitting on a donkey. When the dust will settle on the day of Qiyamah, then we will come to know who are the intelligent ones. My respected Allah and friends, what is the message of deen? What Sahaba understood as the temperament of deen? A few examples from their lives. One example. Once Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi with Sahaba, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned to them, now a person is going to be walking into the masjid. That person is a jannati. All were eager. All, who's that lucky one? Got his certificate, boarding card, everything already in this world. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it, that he's going to jannat. And after a little while, a person comes. We don't even know his name. Not somebody very famous like an Abu Bakr or Hazrat Umar or Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf or somebody rich or somebody, you know, somebody, some of the more famous, Abu Huraira or somebody. We don't even know his name. That person walks in. Of course, this was inspired to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by Allah. Now, this person walks in, water dripping. He comes, makes two rakat namaz. Everybody sees. And he came and he sat down. Everybody saw it. The next day, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the same thing. Today, a person is going to walk in, and this is what is a jannah. And it was the same person. And on the third day also, it was the same person. The same thing. One sahabi says, I must find out what is this person doing that he's a jannati. Certificate, 3 days consecutive, he got from Rasulullah SAW that he's a jannati. So how are you going to find out? His apparent life is apparent to everybody. He's apparent to everybody. He comes for namaz, he's 5 times namaz, he reads namaz with jamaat, sits in the programs, the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam majlises, and he benefits from it. Apparently he's practicing on Islam. So what? There must be something in his personal life. And personal ibadat is your zikr, your tahajjud, your tilawat. Even the zikr and tahajjud also is done openly. Mostly tahajjud. At home. So he made an excuse, you know what? Can you help me out? One Sahabi who was eager, he goes to this person who got the certificate, tells him, can you help me out? I'm using my words. I had a problem at home with my father. Took a promise I'm not going to come home for 3 days. Can you accommodate me? I said, no problem. Come. What was the houses? No fancy thing, guest wing, this, that. Bathroom must be like this, fresh towels, this, that. Simple, one room, just put some curtain, or one section, just put a sheet down for him. This is your room, your bedroom, the guest room. And I'll sleep with you, the ladies will stay on that side. So whatever food they had, they must have shared it. Whatever they wanted to eat, they must have eaten. And the Sahabi noticed that this person who got the certificate slept it out the whole night. Very little ibadat, some zikr. Second day also, third day also. Then he tells him, "Boy, I had no problem with my father. But I've made that as an excuse to come and find out your personal private life. Your personal private life. Just keep that in our back of our minds. We are looking at the mizaj of the Sahaba. The temperament of the Sahaba. We don't lose the point. So I had no problem with the father, nothing. But I wanted to see how you spend your nights. What type of dua you must be making? What tahajjud? How many amas you must be standing in tahajjud and making dua to Allah and reading namaz? How many siparas you must be doing in a night? You know, standing in front of Allah. And I see you've been doing less than the normal people. He says, well, this is my life. This is how I live every day. Before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it, after it too, from years, this is my style. This is my way. So then what is it? So he tells him, I don't. Then he says, probably this. There's one thing I do, I didn't tell you. That is, every night before I sleep, I clean my heart. In our daily life, you have a little bit tu meme, you know, you have with somebody some problems, you know, some heated discussions or this, that, or disagreements, everything. But when, before I sleep, I wipe my slate clean. I make my heart clean. I got nothing against anybody. I make everybody maaf anybody. And I sleep away with a clean heart. Now we're looking at mizaj of Sahaba. We, over silly things, we refuse to speak to somebody for years. And we say we are people of Iman. And we want to call ourselves people of Iman. One little other story. He wanted to get married. So he came to another Sahabi he knew of a girl somewhere, some house. Now, it's not appropriate you go personally, nothing wrong, but it doesn't sound very appropriate to go personally there. You take some intermediary, somebody senior. So he knew somebody who knew that family. Say, "Bhai, I'm interested in getting married there. Can you put a word for me?" He said, "Chalo, that house, the prospective groom is sitting outside." This man went in with a, "Assalamu alaikum, hey, welcome. After long you came to our house," everything. Entertain him, ask him, "What brings you here?" He says, "Do you know a certain Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by this name?" He said, "Gee, I know him. He's a wonderful person. He's one of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam trusted people and this and this and this." And he gave it all the fazail of that person. "I have come with a mango, proposal from him for your daughter." Obviously, the husband and wife, father and mother, must have had some discussion. They came back, let's say, we don't seem it appropriate. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with a boy, and doesn't mean there's something wrong with a girl. Marriage is all about temperament. Also, whether they'll be able to live together. They know their daughter. They know that Sahabi. nothing wrong with him, nothing wrong with her. But this is not the appropriate match. So what he says? No. They said, we're not interested. But we had a discussion, and that if you, the man who brought the proposal, if you insisted, we can make your nikah to that girl. Say, Bismillah, even for something else. You know? So, say, Bismillah. The coach is waiting outside, and he's making his nikah inside. He's making his nikah inside. So the father made his nikah to the girl. Everything is done. It took long, came out again. Obviously, he won't take his parcel same time because it was unexpected. So they asked, what happened? He says, you know, I feel shy to tell you what happened. I feel a bit embarrassed. He says, no, tell me what happened. He says, I took your proposal and with full amanat, I put your proposal across. I didn't hold anything back. But it's their choice and they refused. After that, they put a counter proposal of their daughter for me. And I accepted the proposal. I didn't make a proposal and they accepted it. They proposed. So I accepted it. So I'm feeling embarrassed to tell you, I went to do your work, I got done. No? So now look at again, don't forget our mizaj of Shariat. What Sahaba, what was the mizaj of Iman? Eh? If that happened to us, what we'll do? Put a bullet through the guy, or put a dagger between his shoulder blades, or something like that. The least proposal is for the rest of the life, we don't want to see the guy's face. The least. Stab me in the back. They call it? He stabbed me in the back. So, but what he says? No. It's not you, Bais, that's supposed to be embarrassed. It's me. I'm supposed to be embarrassed. Because something that was written for you by Allah, that this woman, I had my gaze there. So the embarrassment is for me, not for you. Can we say that today? This is the mizaj. And there are thousands of waqiyas like this. So my respected elders and friends, Iman is not just La ilaha illallah, saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadullah encompasses a whole lot of things. We don't restrict it to just the oneness of Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being the Rasul of Allah. It's a whole lot of things. There are more than 70 branches of deen, or of Iman. So my respected Allah and friends, this Iman is something that has to be learnt. And Sahaba learnt it with mujahada, with sacrifice. Sahaba made effort and they learnt it with mujahada. In the company of Rasulullah SAW, sometimes not in the company of Rasulullah SAW, sometimes doing something and then verifying it with Rasulullah SAW, whether it's acceptable or not. But this is how the Iman was made, with mujahada. So my respected brothers and friends, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal and learn our Iman. We are in times where our Iman is being tested. If something was ever tested of the ummah, is the Iman was being tested. If something, that Iman. Good Muslims cannot hold on. May Allah give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.